This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All over the world and back again. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode, Place to Be Nation's main event, here, there, and everywhere. I'm your tri-host, Scott Criscolo, episode 166. And for the first time in a while, we've had to do back-to-back weeks, but we are back on schedule. This was our regularly scheduled week. So we thank you for your patience, and hey, we gave you back-to-back episodes. We'll be back to every other week after this. So let me bring in the guys, because we got a lot to talk about, and the return of one of our favorite segments. So let's dive right in. He is the purveyor of the Kings of Sport Patreon, which is always pumping out ass-kicking content. The Godfather, Nate Milton.
What's going on, Scotty? It's great to be back, back-to-back, as you mentioned, brother. And I know that a lot of folks are interested in what we have to say about the world of wrestling this week, but I'm going to pull back the curtains because everybody's buzzing about a guy that showed up that wasn't supposed to be where he showed up. And that's cool. Like, I enjoyed it. But you got to do something new for me, Scotty, because here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, my day job when I'm not broadcasting, when I'm not podcasting, you know, I work at a restaurant. I work at Zaxby's. And so, you know, I left Zaxby's the other day, walked right into a Chick-fil-A, and super kicked the manager. And they're like, that's Nate Milton. He works at Zaxby's. What is he doing here? What is this going to lead to? And I was like, I don't know why Excalibur is working at this Chick-fil-A, but hey, let's just go with it.
Don West is working at Popeye's. That's why.
They should hire Don West. Just Don West and whoever, like the auntie looking black lady is that they have on their commercials. Just the two of them. That's my broadcast team. They should call Impact together.
Oh, I love her. She's awesome. I agree with you. Better than the guys that are announcing now.
Actually, they did upgrade though. So I will give them that.
Yes. No, they did. They did. Brother Nate, always a pleasure. And of course, buried in the snow. But he actually, his house is not under it, and he has electricity. The conscience of Place to Be Nation, Steve Willie.
I would rather have snow outside my house than rain inside my house.
Who knew Steve was a weather elemental this whole time?
Exactly. Yes. You are Aurora Monroe. You are Storm.
He's a waterbender.
He's a waterbender. That's right. I just watched every single X-Men movie all in a row, so my mind is a mush right now. But
I was going to say, some of those looks, in the middle it's probably really good, but though, like that last part, that last descent in those final movies, that's rough.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's funny because I
did
am
you
not,
include New Mutants in your viewing?
I did not, because I don't think it's – is it streaming anywhere? I was told it's not. Is it on, like, HBO Max or whatever? I just watched Dark Phoenix yesterday, so – I didn't.
I guess New Mutants, if it was anywhere, it would, because it's Fox, or it was Fox, but that's Disney now.
Yeah, I don't.
And
think
And they're not putting that on Disney Plus.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's on Hulu, because any of the, like, for instance, I had to watch the two Deadpools are on Hulu, but like certain movies are mixed. Like I watched, I think First Class and Dark Phoenix are on HBO Max, but pretty much the rest. Mm. Are on Disney Plus.
I like First Class and Days of Future Past. I like those a lot.
Yeah, they were good. I enjoyed both. Oh, they're both very good. I have to say something though. And I borrow this one, my buddy's Blu-ray, because Logan is not streaming. And I don't say this because I'm a horror movie junkie, so I could watch anything, but Logan is legitimately disturbing. That is a disturbing movie. I mean, I don't even consider it a superhero movie, to be honest. I mean, it is. I mean, that movie's messed up. It's messed up.
It's messed really up, good. But it's really good, though.
Yeah, no, it is. Absolutely is. But I'm like, I finished watching that, and I'm like, holy. Because my buddy was like, I'm warning you now. I'm curious what mood you'll be in when you put it on. And I usually put them on at night as I'm chilling. So I'm like, oh, I'm cool. I'm ready for this. My next movie to watch. And I'm like, what the hell is this?
And that like, the little girl is really good. Like, I hope she does more things.
Yeah, I have a feeling something tells me. When Kevin the Hat, that's my nickname for Feige, and all them start realizing what the hell they're going to do. I have a feeling we're going to see more of her. But, like, because I'm thinking to myself, like, we see, you know, Wolverine use the claws in the movies, but we don't really see him actually killing. Like, we don't see them go in things. He's just moving his arms around and people die. But this one, he's, like, sticking them in people's heads and cutting their heads off. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, I was legitimately floored. I really was. But you're right. It's a great movie. Both Deadpools are awesome. I love the post-credit of the second Deadpool when he kills his Deadpool from Origins, the mouthless one. And then he kills himself as Ryan Reynolds reading the Green Lantern script. I think that's awesome. I like Green Lantern, to be honest with you.
But that Origins movie was so... You know a movie is terrible, Steve Willie? When Will.i.am might be the best part of that damn film.
I think I agree with you on that. Oh, God, that's so... I like Danny Houston, though, even though they wanted... Brian Cox asked to have his face, like, kind of digitized.
Brian Cox.
Yeah, Brian Cox wanted his face digitized like they did for Patrick and Ian at the beginning of The Last Stand, and they're like, we did that for, like, 3 minutes. You expect us to do this for 2 hours? You realize how expensive that is? So Danny Houston, even though The Last Stand is clearly the worst movie of all of them, the worst. I didn't really hate Dark Phoenix, but again, not that we're getting into comic nerd talk here. But
no, that's fine.
I don't know a lot. I see X-Men was not. I'm a purist when it comes to, like, my Marvel reading as a kid were the standards. Tony, sure. Steve, Peter, you know, the Hulk, you know, Bruce. I was a traditionalist. I didn't hate X-Men. I just really didn't get it. Like, I didn't get it. So, but I read a little of it. I'm currently, like, rewatching the animated series on Disney Plus. The animated series, by the way, I'm sure you guys both watched it. The animated series is awesome. Awesome.
It's a great song.
Oh, so good. Anyway, so I was just watching.
And the animated series spawned one of the earliest YouTube videos I remember watching on an endless loop. And I don't know if you've seen it, Steve Willie, but it's the I'm the Juggernaut Bitch series.
No, I will have to look this up.
A guy went back, and I don't like this has got to be at least 10 years old by now, but he went back and like dubbed over old X-Men cartoons, and he plays the Juggernaut as like this almost like crackhead figure. He's like, don't you know who I am? I'm the Juggernaut, baby. Charles, let me in that mansion, Charles.
Oh, God. And speaking of Juggernaut, nothing against Vinny Jones, but he wasn't Juggernaut.
No. Yeah, Vinny Jones had a season.
Yeah. The Juggernaut in Deadpool 2, that was Juggernaut. Mm. But in any event, enough X-Men talk. It is episode 166, and we've got a lot to talk about, so why don't we hop in? The big news now... we all know for you wrestling fans that Thursday, yesterday, if you're listening to this, the day it drops, WWE did their fourth quarter, you know, or their end of 2020 call. We could not get, because the awesome guy has his own pod, we could not get our man Brandon Thurston on this week. He will be joined. He is booked, set. He will be with us on our next episode in 2 weeks, and we'll talk about the end of year thing. The only two notes that I heard were kind of telling, although one of them now I have a backstory because some people didn't. Vince was not there Sunday at the Royal Rumble. But now we've heard kind of dribs and drabs that Vince's brother passed away earlier last week. So he was not there. He was at obviously the funeral. So that's what we've heard. So that's not as big a deal. The other news was WWE pretty much alluded to, except for Mania, because they'll obviously try to get 22,000 each night at the Pirate Ship, because that's the max for this Sunday's game. He's trying to get 44,000 for 2 days on the Pirate Ship. Other than that, they don't expect ticketed shows until after the 4th of July. So, Nate, what are your thoughts on that news?
It makes sense. I feel like, you know, honestly, there's a lot of things that shouldn't be happening. As much as I love Atlanta, I'm a little wary about the NBA All-Star Game.
I know, right?
In Atlanta next month. But I feel like it's the natural progression, because if you listen to any of the experts, they've always said, like, we're looking at the summertime when, in terms of when most people can get inoculated and get these shots. Get these shots in arms, because that's the new catchphrase out here on these streets, Steve Willie. Like, that's just weird phrasing by Fauci and them. We got to get shots in arms. But I feel like, Scott, they can do WrestleMania in Tampa because, like, the NFL's giving them cover. But after that, they'd be the ones taking the step out. And I think it's just a smart business move to be like, you know what, we're just going to kind of pump the brakes and see what happens, because who knows? Like, in 3 months, we could either be heading out of the woods, or we could get, speaking of X-Men, we could get one of these new mutant strains here that is the new hotness on these streets. So I think it's a smart move. Just kind of wait and see.
Well, we already have boots to asses as a t-shirt and knees to faces as a t-shirt. Why can't we have shots to arms as a t-shirt? I mean, Steve Aloysius Willie, what do you think?
I agree. I had, and I actually talked about this on our Feeling Good podcast, Feeling Good For Now podcast, this last episode we just taped, that my guy Fauci, who I, you know, I don't know if you knew this, but he's a close personal friend of mine. He was out here, you know, telling me about that once we had the vaccine, we should actually maybe, you know, it might be okay to go to an outdoor socially distanced sporting event or an outdoor socially distanced concert. So that's like, that was like my first hope that I've had regarding this virus in quite a long time. So yeah, like, you know, July 4th would be around that part. In Milwaukee, we have a very famous festival called Summerfest. That's like a 9-day festival. Like, each day has a, you know, really big concert each night and a bunch of middle of like kind of all different types of genres of music. They'll do a lot of free ones there too. And they canceled it last year, and they just moved that. It's usually over the 4th of July. They just moved it to consecutive weekends in September. That was, I think, literally today or yesterday that happened. So it doesn't feel like WWE is speaking out of turn here. It doesn't feel like they're trying to push any buttons. And, you know, they've had a history of doing that. You know, like 9/11 happened. We're going to be the first ones back, you know. So, yeah, they have that history. But, I like, in this case, like, I don't blame them at all. I think they found some comfort in this Thunderdome. Like, you know, some people really like it. For me, it's kind of jarring. But, you know, they found comfort there. And why push that envelope when you're a billion-dollar company that's public? The only thing that could happen is bad from it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's they just got $20 million of the first of their five-year deal with
$200 million.
I'm sorry, $200 million. So they really don't need money at the moment.
Yeah.
So they're fine in that ass. So I think it's smart. I think it's smart. No rush.
And it makes sense from like a marketing standpoint, Scotty. Like, if you're gonna have your first real big show back, it should be SummerSlam. Like, it shouldn't be Backlash. Like, Backlash hadn't earned that honor.
Right. Yeah. No. You're right about that. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to that, because last year we had a PTB crew going to Boston for a SummerSlam, which was supposed to be at the TD Garden. Of course, that got bonked. So we're hoping that maybe they will do it in Boston. They'll give Boston another shot. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I'm kind of excited for that. But anyway, that was the little bit of
maybe they'll launch an all new show. Like, they'll, like, we just got a, what is it, Steve? The NXT, was it Judgment? It's a weird title.
NXT Vengeance.
NXT Vengeance Day, which is a phrase nobody ever says. Nope. But I feel like this would be the time. Like, if it's not going to be SummerSlam, they make a new show and call it the Rona Rumble.
And then they could keep airing Rona Barrett's interview with The Rock at WrestleMania 14. Was it right? Was it no? Rona Barrett's interview with Elizabeth at WrestleMania 6. That's what it was. So we'll get more. We'll talk more WWE with, you know, I mean, we're pretty awesome, the three of us, but we will hear from our true expert Brandon Thurston in 2 weeks on our next show, and he'll really give us the skinny on everything going on WWE. But there is some other news in terms of other wrestling news involving other promotions. We are going to talk a little AEW this evening. No, Revolution is not till, I think, March 9th, I think. Let's see. The 21st is a Sunday. So that would be 14th, 7th, or the 6th, something like that. It's a Saturday night, so I think it's the 6th.
They actually moved it to the Sunday night.
Oh, so they are doing it Sunday. Time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they moved it.
All right, I think it's the 7th. So Revolution is the 7th. We'll talk more about that in a couple weeks. But the big news is this past Wednesday on Dynamite, we had an appearance from Kenta on Dynamite, which then was confirmed apparently by Dave Meltzer, the public relations director for All Elite Wrestling, that a business relationship has been reached between AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling. Number one, that doesn't surprise me. I'm surprised it didn't happen earlier because of all of the New Japan connections, Kenny, the Bucks, etc. I'm going to hold judgment. I think it's a good move. We have more New Japan news involving North America in a moment, but obviously they need to get this U.S. belt off of John Dean Ambrose, and Kenta is the guy, and that match is booked officially, according to Lords of Pain / Wrestling Headlines. Kenta and Moxley will be on February 26th. And Steve Willey will talk more about that because that involves New Beginning, which he already knows a little bit about. So that's on February 26th. Moxley will drop the U.S. Title to Kenta. I'm already calling it.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's definitely happening. Steve, your thoughts on the partnership and how far you think it's going to go. Like, are we going to see, are we going to see Okada show up? Are we going to see AEW guys, you know, like in the G1 climax? Like, how far do you think this could go?
I don't think it's going to go really far, to be honest. I think this is an arrangement of convenience for everybody due to the previous arrangement of inconvenience where, I mean, Moxley would have dropped this a long time ago if it wasn't for the pandemic and with having to go back and forth. And I, for some reason that I don't quite understand, they didn't just strip him of the title, which was weird. And we've talked about this a few months ago because they stripped Moxley of the title once before when there was, I believe there was a typhoon in Japan. And so he and Zack Sabre Jr. couldn't get into the country. So they stripped him of it. And then he re-won it later on. So that was that part's always like they are really, really all in. They want Moxley to lose this to Kenta. And Kenta is someone who's based out of Orlando. Like that's where he lives. So he can just go back home. He wasn't on the last card, the Big New Beginning show. So he's been back in the country for a couple weeks for the United, you know, in the United States. Mm-hmm. It's very convenient to be able to do this. They want to have that Moxley showed up on NJPW Strong, which probably 57 people saw because it's like you only have like 100-something thousand people who subscribe to NJPW World. And that's like this, like, it reminds me of a studio, like a Memphis studio show from back in the day, only with no crowd. And so they had Moxley show up on that, which was a legit surprise. No one saw that coming. And then Kenta returned the favor on AEW, which again, no one saw coming. But there was hints to it a few months ago when Moxley was attacked backstage. So I think this is really just AEW saying, hey, you know, it's not in Moxley's contract to be able to wrestle for other organizations in America, which I totally understand. Like, it's not like Vince is going to be like, you know, okay, Kofi Kingston, you're going to be on Impact, you know, this week for this.
Yeah,
show.
I know. Yeah.
So I totally get that. So it's like, hey, okay, you want us to, you want Kenta to take this belt. You want to have this match. Well, we don't know what's going to happen with Japan. And actually, they've been shutting down a little bit more lately. So why don't we just move on to do this? We'll just work together, you know, have Kenta come over for a couple shows. They're going to do a tag team match next week with Omega and Kenta versus Moxley and Phoenix, which is, I mean, that's really cool. Just a combination of people. And I think they'll be done from there. But at least it opens the door, because the doors were slammed shut. Because that was the thought, like, oh, they can work together with the Bucks and Kenny. But that was, like, things did not go well. The door was slammed shut. And maybe this opens up other opportunities. And AEW has shown that they're open to working. I mean, Impact has shown this. Now New Japan is showing a little bit of interest in, and that's what makes wrestling really fun for all of us, is right. when this kind of stuff can happen. And, like, you know, I haven't watched AEW in the last, like, 2-3 weeks just because of time constraints. And now I'm like, ooh, okay, I gotta get back on this really quick.
Mm. All right. What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, I like it. I like this. I agree with Steve that I feel like this specific storyline is just kind of a one-off. But the fact that the mythical forbidden door has been opened, and not just like a little crack, I feel like it's been substantially opened, because this is something that 2 or 3 years ago, you know, even though AEW hadn't been around that long, but, you know, a couple years ago, I wouldn't have seen something like this happening. And part of that, I think, is due to the former president, who maybe made some questionable decisions, like, you know, I don't know, Scotty, killing a podcast network prematurely, but we're not going to get into that, brother. those who know, know. but I will say, like, I think that the fact that you are able to take this situation, which, as Steve outlined, has been kind of weird because of the whole COVID situation, I feel like being able to take that and, instead of just doing something like stripping the title from Moxley, we're going to create the storyline around it and plug it into a company that has already caught a little buzz lately because of the Impact working relationship, and we're going to throw this on top of it. So now you've got a company, which is crazy, you know. And then I feel like, yeah, this is not the thing that's going to change the wrestling world, but I do feel like it's something that's going to make the wrestling world better, because you've got a company that's worked with AAA, New Japan, Impact Wrestling, your NWA, Scotty. Like, they've had these little side agreements here and there with a few different companies. And I think, A, it makes AEW's product feel a little more fresh and a little more spontaneous, but B, I feel like in general, it helps the business when you've got companies that are willing to work together, because AEW could go the way of saying, you know what, we're only going to put AEW guys on the show, people that are under contract, that's the only talent we're going to use. But no, they're like, we're going to go to Impact, and who knows, like, we're going to give Rich Swann a little bit of shine through this arrangement, right. You know, we're going to go to AAA, and we're going to, you know, give the Lucha Brothers some shine. You know, now we're bringing Kenta in, and my social media last night was losing their damn minds about Kenta. Even people that probably had never even seen Kenta, Steve Willing. Like, there were so many Kenta experts last night around 11 o'clock Eastern on Twitter. I didn't know where all these closet Kenta fans were all these years.
They were. I mean, Hideo Itami was huge in WWE. I mean, they were. I mean, people were jumping the rails trying to get their arms around him.
He was like the Beatles all rolled into one.
Yeah. The problem was, if they put their arms around Hideo Itami, he'd shatter both shoulder blades and be out for 11 months. So,
I think this is great, Scott. I think that, you know, it's not changing the world, it's not reinventing the wheel, but it is something cool for the business and for the fans.
Yeah, I think that my problem with, not my problem, but my skepticism when they had the deal with Impact was because that was being spearheaded by their champion in terms of creatively. That was all about Kenny as champion. And I was nervous that you're going to have, you know, a champion, not a unification, but a champion versus champion, Kenny versus Rich Swann. And, you know, the Rich Swann was going to eat the pin, and that sucks.
Yeah.
So my only skepticism is not because it has nothing to do with WWE, because I know that's how most people are thinking right now. It's because, again, like you said, there's only so many you can have. Like I was half joking when I threw this out there a minute ago, but I could see if this branch goes out for a couple years, I could see some of the smaller AEW guys, you know, maybe taking part in the G1 Climax if they can fly over there, you know, because that'll I don't know, Steve, if they'll keep, go back to August for that or July or whatever, or if they'll stick to October this year. I'm not sure, because I know they did October last year.
Yeah, because the Olympics, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll assume that it's going to be October again. Mm-hmm. And maybe some, like, you know, the Darby Allens and guys like that could go to the G1. Maybe not to win it, but at least to give some shine. You know, a New Japan guy should win the G1 because they're the ones that will ultimately go to Wrestle Kingdom next year and wrestle for the IWGP title. But if you're going to kind of have some fun with having some different weird, you know, names in various things, like different pay-per-views, and have, you know, maybe have a Kenny Okada rematch, because I would see those two guys wrestle again. I got no problem with it because the matches they had before were, you know, how many stars, Dave? Oh, sorry, I can't buy anymore. Maybe Tony Khan could loan you some stars, your boss. I do think that I think it's a good thing for particularly New Japan. I don't think AEW really needs it. I think this is more for New Japan as they break, as they try to break over to this side of the globe, which will lead us into our next New Japan news story, big thing that came out today. So I am optimistic. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll bring more eyes to both AEW and New Japan, but I am still hung up on this, and maybe it's because of my us being used to not paying for pay-per-view since Elimination Chamber 2014, but I just can't bear with spending $50 on a pay-per-view. I just can't. AEW's got to fix that. Maybe if you want to do $50 for Double or Nothing and All In or All Out, yeah. Okay. That's your WrestleMania and Rumble, WrestleMania SummerSlam. But like, and maybe they'll get lucky here, Nate, because your boy is wrestling at Revolution. The grizzled old man called Sting. Hopefully he doesn't get hurt. But maybe that'll bring some buys in, but they've got to do something about that, because the casual fan, diehards, you got your diehards, particularly AEW, you got your diehards. But if you want to get casual fans to spend $50, you're out of your mind. So you want to do 50 for Double or Nothing and 50 for All Out, that's fine. And then all the other ones, maybe 30 or 35. Yeah. That's what I think. So that's something that AEW still has to really think about. But in terms of a creative partnership, I think this is good for New Japan more than it is for AEW. Not more for AEW, but this is as important to New Japan as it is to AEW. Because the other big news, guys, that came out of the Land of the Rising Sun is 1 week from tomorrow. If you're listening to this on Friday, 1 week from next Thursday. Actually, it's next Thursday. Next Thursday, February 11th, New Japan Pro Wrestling will be debuting a brand new show, 1 hour weekly TV, 5 o'clock on the Roku channel in the US, the UK, and Canada. So there's your big news. We knew it was coming eventually. The Roku channel will get a 1 hour weekly New Japan Pro Wrestling show every Thursday at 5 o'clock, starting this coming Thursday, February 11th. Brother Nate, what are your thoughts?
I think it's a good move. I'm not sure the exact reach of Roku. I know it's picked up over the last couple of years, but I don't think it's well, I know, like, it's not to the level of where Fire Stick is, but it's, right. I think it's a good move for them. Like, it gets them probably, like, instead of signing with, like, just throw out a network, like Access, where there's a part of the country, a lot of the country, Steve, that doesn't have access to Access. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should think about changing your name. Mark Cuban and Steve Harvey and Anthem Sports, your whole conglomerate. Why, if you're Impact, why has Mark Cuban and Steve Harvey not appeared on your television yet? Couldn't be any worse than that time Chris Rock showed up and just said one line.
Or that guy who busted into Chick-fil-A wearing his Zaxby shirt. Man, I tell you, where were the cameras for that? You call this a chicken sandwich?
The chicken war's still on, brother.
The chicken war's still on, brother. Steve, what do you think?
Zaxby's beat Chick-fil-A for 83 weeks head-to-head, Steve. Yeah.
83 cutlets. that's gonna be Nate's. That's gonna be the new pod on the Kings of Sport Patreon. 83 cutlets.
Just be me and Conrad Thompson talking about chicken.
chicken and dick pills. What a combo. Anyway, Steve, what do you think?
And I'm not surprised. Like, I didn't think it was gonna be on like an access or anything like that. I read that Roku Channel is available in 62 million homes. Oh. Which seemed a little high to me, but I mean, who am I to say otherwise? And then they're going to do this weekly show and then have some on-demand content, like kind of like a best of matches. When they were on Access originally, that's how like the, because we have to remember, like I need to take a step back when I think about kind of like something like New Japan. Because wrestling's already a niche, and New Japan really is a small percent of that niche. And that was what drew some of those people in. That's what drew me in. I was able to start, you know, just like throwing it on my DVR and watching this hour show that was like matches from a year prior with English commentary. And it's like, oh, okay, now I know who Nakamura is. Now I know who this. And so for me personally, that drew me in. So I think you're going to get like a few fans, you know, like in like talking like in the thousands, maybe, you know, and then probably the hope is that they'll get some money from Roku and then maybe drive a few people to the NJPW World service so you can see, you know, full shows. And that's what I'm thinking for. It's not like they're not going to get much out of this. I can't imagine, you know, more than, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars or something like that. It's not like you're talking millions out of this deal. So yeah, I'm sure the hope is just to get like a toe into the American market, pick up a few thousand viewers here, get some, you know, it's easier to access than the NJPW World. But then once you're in and you're interested, then maybe you'll go and look for that. That would be my thinking behind it.
Here's my thing. From what I heard, I'm going to see if it's in this article I have in front of me. This is the full details. From what I heard, they went to Pluto first. Mm-hmm. They went to Pluto TV first because that's gotten hot like crazy. I mean, we could watch, you know, New Japan, American Gladiators, then 90210. I mean, what a combo. you know, something must have not happened there. I'm a little surprised because you can get Pluto TV. Anybody could get Pluto TV, whether you have Fire TV, Roku, Chromecast, Apple TV. I think it's everywhere. Online, you could. I mean, you know, it works on. It works on you know, regular browser. Something must not have went down there. I'm a little skeptical that they're going to get that much bandwidth. I think this is a start. And then I think if they see Roku kind of getting hot, I have a feeling that we may see something out of that. Maybe they'll work a deal out with somebody else because I think they're going to need to find this. I mean, it's big for Roku if you're a diehard wrestling fan, but if you're a New Japan Worlds thing, here's something interesting, Steve, for you, that's a New Japan World subscriber. Will this show be on that?
Yeah, and does it even matter, really? Like, I'm not gonna get rid of my NJPW World account for that. You know, like, I watch it, I have that for, like, the big, you know, like, the show I watched this past week, or, like, the G1, right, or Wrestle King, you know, for, like, the big shows.
Right.
You know, I watch a couple of those a month, there's my $9. So, yeah, the one-hour show isn't really gonna... It's probably going to be just like the other one and just show some current matches or,
right,
you know, maybe they'll show some NJPW Strong or, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure it'll be online. Maybe Roku. Does Roku have a YouTube channel? I don't know if they do or not. I'll have to double check that. Maybe they'll put it
while we're talking.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think, I mean, if there's an expansive way for others to watch it that don't have Roku, I think that's a big, that'll be a big coup for both Roku and for New Japan. So, anyway, we'll see how that, well, for those that are, you know, check on our Facebook page or go to the Place to Be group on Facebook. And if you have Roku and, if you watch the show next, this coming Thursday, February 11th, let us know how it is. And, maybe you can get some Roku, subscribers. Roku's not the one that's yearning for Peacock either. Maybe Amazon Fire TV should have done this while they're waiting for the Peacock thing to happen by March 21st. All right. Speaking of,
we've got an update here. We got breaking news.
What? Mm-hmm. We do?
Yes. Yes. Let me get my best Tom Brokaw on here, Scotty.
Oh boy.
Dateline, Brandon Thurston, our friend of the program, just tweeted to clarify Vince McMahon was in fact on the call, at least in the beginning. And he sends tweeted out a link where you can hear the entire replay of the call.
Oh, okay. So he was at the beginning of the call, but not the whole call. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so we'll get more, obviously, with Brandon when he's on the show, our next episode in 2 weeks. Speaking of WWE and Vince, let's talk a little about the Rumble. We don't have to go too crazy. It's been a few days. Sadly, Brother Nate, it was you that had the internet mutants on Sunday and not Steve. So sadly, we didn't get a chain reaction pod that night, which sucks. I love that show. I love being on with you and Brent and the guys.
We'll just have to save up all of our hot takes for WrestleMania.
Yes, yes, I will not be going. So I will be with you guys. I will be on the chain reaction pod for WrestleMania, no doubt, like I was last year. Did you get a chance to watch it though, Nate?
I did. Okay. Eventually after the fact, and I thought for the most part it was a good show.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you go first. Three points. 3 points you take out of the show.
Well, point number one, it's about damn time they put some respect on Bianca Belair's name.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
I think out of anybody, like, you know, we do on the show, blue chip stock, penny stock, you know, and the blue chip mm-hmm. stock is yep. who came out of the show the best. And I feel like it's the fulfillment of a prediction that we had made earlier, because on the previous show, the last show we did, which I guess would have been what, SummerSlam? The last chain reaction.
Survivor Series,
yeah.
Survivor Series.
So, yeah, when we went, you, me, and Brent did the Survivor Series show, yep. I think Bianca Belair was somebody that we talked a lot about.
Yes,
coming out of that yep. show. And yep. so to have Bianca in the span of a few months get to this point where, like, I think you could make a strong case since we're doing two nights of WrestleMania again. Mm-hmm. Like, why not have Bianca and Sasha main event one of the nights? Because I think that'd be like a hell of a match.
I agree with you 1,000%. I think it would probably be, we'll have to see how saucy whoever Drew's opponent is and whoever Roman's opponent is. Because I have a feeling Roman's going to main event. I have a feeling Roman and whoever will mm-hmm. main event Sunday night. I think he's on last Sunday yeah. night. I think there's no doubt.
He should.
Yeah, he should. So, you know, they did it last year. We didn't have both title matches main event last year. What was it? Goldberg and Braun was like, what, third? Well, because nobody wanted to watch it. And we main evented Saturday night with Taker and AJ. So not out of the realm of possibility to main event Saturday night with that. Yeah, I love Bianca. I love Bianca. Yeah. We'll get more to her in a sec. What's your next point?
So that's my first one. My second point is, while I like Edge and I respect Edge a lot, I don't, and while it was a feel-good moment in the moment, I don't know if Edge is where I would have gone with the Men's Rumble winner. Even though he'll have a better match than Goldberg and Drew, but I don't know where Edge is going to fit into this picture. And so at least I'm intrigued, even if I don't 100% fully agree with the decision. But then my third point, Steve Willie. Mm. The shortest point of all, because it's just two words. And new tag team champions. Gold is back. The gold is back home, Steve Willie. Nia and Shayna brought it home.
And I said it on the Twitch feed. I said it on our Place to Be Nation our PTB Wrestling Twitch feed. I said, the only person that's probably thrilled about this decision is the godfather, Nate Milton.
I was sitting there like Al Michaels. Do you believe in miracles?
That was never going to happen. It's the greatest moment ever.
Nate's on the Thunderdome throwing his hockey sticks in the air.
Yes. Yeah. Let's talk about Nate's points. Bianca, she's amazing. She got her moment. There was a great picture, a little video on Twitter of her crying on the shoulder of her husband, Montez Ford of Street Profits. I gotta be honest. I hope that she does a Chris Bent. Oh, I'm going to mention his name. Voldemort. I'd like her to do what he did in 04. I'll be honest with you. I'd rather see her wrestle Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you. I said something on the chat. I said something on the Twitch feed, on the Twitch special. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I love her as a character. I love her look. I am not totally in love with Sasha's in-ring work. That's just me. I love Sasha to death. I really do. She's a good promo. She's got a great presence. But I don't think she's as flexible with certain people as she is, as others are. And as great as she worked with Charlotte in that stretch, and I always said that Sasha's problem is she wrestles bigger than her body, and she's going to kill herself.
That's a good point. Yep.
She's going to kill herself one day. She's not. Mm-hmm. She's got great moves. She's got a good set in the ring when she's facing someone kind of similar to her structure. But when she tries to, she doesn't have that durable body that Charlotte has. She's quick, and I'm afraid that one day she's going to try something stupid and she's going to end up, you know, in a bad place. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Like, I've seen her, and it's not even a botch. Like, she'll, like,
right,
you know, fall off the top rope during a move, and she just lands really funny because of her body type.
Right.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there. Not because she's not incredibly talented.
No, not at all. Not
athletic.
At all.
It's just, yeah, like the wear and tear on her body.
Yeah, something tells me that her and Bianca would look a little awkward. Now, having said that, if they do wrestle, I have a feeling that they will rise to the occasion and the match will be great. My preference, I would love to see her cross over to Monday night and challenge Asuka, because I think that match is going to be would be amazing. The reason I say that is, and I'll get it, well, those are my points, but I'll do my points last.
Well, not to pull a Columbo here, Scotty, but just one more thing.
<'Cause>, oh God, I love when you reference 70s Detective Conan.
Because I like that matchup a lot between Asuka and Bianca, but that's assuming Asuka has the belt by then. Because I feel like this is like Charlotte's going to have it by the time we get to WrestleMania. And if Charlotte is the one with the belt, I think we're either getting a rematch with Asuka or they're going to Rhea and Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. That's something to think about. You are right about that. But I'm going to get to one of my points has to do with the women's situation come Tampa anyway. So we'll get to that in a sec. Your second point, Edge. I'll tell you this. I think he should challenge because he's challenged. He made it clear to Drew. As we're recording, we haven't seen SmackDown yet. So we don't know if he will get in Roman's face this tonight, I guess you could say. If you're listening to this on Friday, we don't know tonight on SmackDown if he gets in Roman's face. He got in Drew's face Monday. He got in both Finn Balor and Pete Dunne's faces on Wednesday on NXT because, of course, that's your title match at Vengeance Day. What a holiday, huh? You know what? I'm not a big Valentine's Day fan, so I think it should be called Vengeance Day, to be honest with you. But fuck it. I think he should do a satellite promo to the UK and challenge Walter. Hell, challenge everybody. If you're going to have Edge here,
rowboat.
Man, let me tell you something. Put over everybody. Put them all over. Why not? That's my opinion. So I'm trying. I agree with you, Nate. I when that happened, I'm like, well, it's not like he needed it on his resume because he won one. He won it in, of course, when did he win it? 2010. And then, of course, he didn't cash in. He lost to Jericho at WrestleMania 26. So it's not like he needed it on his resume, like other, you know, like other legends who have never won a Rumble, like Kane or something. Although, God, Kane looked like,
God, well, we'll get terrible.
Well, yeah. one of my points, I know he did. One of my points has to do with the 30 guys in the Rumble match. I had a bigger issue with the Rumble match, not the winner, but something else. But when I get to my points, I'll mention it. So I get your point. I definitely get your point, Nate. I do think though that Edge will add some intrigue to all of those shows. Because I think, screw it. I think you should challenge Walter. He's not going to wrestle Walter for the NXT UK title. He's obviously not. But screw it. Why not? Do a satellite feed and have him challenge. Walter look at him like, who the hell are you? I remember you in my magazines when I was in high school. You know? So that would be funny. But who knows if that's going to happen. What are your thoughts?
Honestly, from a business standpoint, if you're trying to maximize the value of Edge as a character.
Right.
No, that's I don't think it's with Drew. It makes a little more sense with Roman than it does with Drew, but I think out of all the options, your Walter prediction aside, Scotty, I feel like the one that makes the most sense is in NXT. Because then you can draw more eyeballs to NXT, and by doing that, in theory, you're hurting AEW, which is one of the main purposes of NXT right now.
True. That is true. What are your thoughts on Edge winning, Steve, and positives and negatives?
I didn't mind Edge winning at all. My fantasy booking would not have been that, but it's a feel-good story. His comeback last year at the Royal Rumble was absolutely incredible, and it was derailed by both injury and that really weird booking of the greatest match ever.
Yep.
I like the possibility of the match with Roman at Mania, just because I'll just make my number one point now. Like, seeing Christian come back was really cool for
me.
Yes,
I agree.
Because I've just always been a huge fan of his. Mm. That was my favorite part of the Rumble, was like their little hug in the middle, even though they've been doing tons of stuff together over the last few years. Just the fact that it was in the ring was very sweet. But doing the, I'm not like the first person who's come up with this. I've seen other people say that, but you know, doing a Roman and Jey Uso versus Edge and Christian, you know, match going into Mania, either on SmackDown or on one of the two pay-per-views ahead of time, would be kind of cool to lead into that. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, someone's going to have to take down Roman, and they're outside of what, maybe Daniel Bryan. They're kind of running out of options on SmackDown.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, Brian, Big E, possibly, maybe, but yeah, your baby faces are kind of in short supply. Because I feel like once you get past Brian and Big E, then we're getting into Otis territory, and I don't know if they want to go to Otis territory.
Yeah, and once Big E got the Intercontinental title, I'm like, okay, they're just, this is like they're testing him, right? Like they're not going to do the Intercontinental champion go against the heavyweight champion.
Yeah, my personal opinion, I think they're going to wait on Big E till next year when we have a crowd.
See, this is why I couldn't be your boy Vince here and book this, Steve Willie, because if I was in charge, I would have had Big E win the Rumble and then have Big E versus Roman, champion versus champion, like Warrior versus Hogan at SummerSlam, and I would have Terry Bollea flown into Tampa to give Big E a pep talk, just to have Big E like nodding his head the whole time. And then as soon as Hogan pats him on the back, he's like, good luck, brother, and walks away. Turns out Big E was just listening to his music on his headphones. And he didn't hear a damn thing Terry said.
Or you got to be careful, because if he pats him too much and starts pointing to the ring, Hogan's going to think that he passed off his title shot to him. And, you know, we're going to get another Yokozuna moment, you know, because if you watch the Yokozuna icons, which, by the way, you need to, it's damn good. Hogan apparently was, quote, Terry's business decision that night was, quote, doing the company a favor. That was the biggest laugh I've ever heard in my entire life. And I love Terry. All right. I'm a orange goblin from when I was 10 years old. But that is the biggest pile of crap I have ever heard in my life. When he said on that Icons, which again, if anybody hasn't watched it, the Yokozuna Icons is fantastic. I usually turn the stream off after a pay-per-view and I usually put something else on. I left the live stream on after the Rumble and watched the Yokozuna Icons. It is awesome. Awesome. Must watch it.
Terry's nobody. There. I was saying nobody does revisionist history like Hulk Hogan. Like,
no, it doesn't. Everything he does is for the good of the. I thought it was. I was doing them a favor by screwing over Bret Hart and having Yoko's first title reign be 3 minutes. Yeah, of course, Terry, because it was all about Yoko, Bret, and the company when you decided to win the title.
What's the show? Drunk History. Like they should do Drunk History, but instead of comedians, it's just Hulk Hogan talking by himself about what actually happened back in the day. And you can have reenactments and fact checking and just let Hulk go wild.
You can have a graphic when he slams Andre that Andre weighed 7,964 pounds. There were 8 million people at the Superdome or the Silverdome. He wouldn't even get the dome right. Apparently we were in New Orleans in 1987 or whatever. Who the hell knows? Anyway. My personal opinion, I think they're gonna wait for Big E to win it in a rumble with a crowd. That's why I think we should. And I've said this on here and I've said this on other shows. I think we kind of need to, I don't want to say give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm not trying to be a fanboy here, but I'm saying this for all the companies. I think we should take a breather on judging creative opinions while there's no crowds. Let them do their thing. Let Edge win a rumble with a bunch of screens in the room. That's fine. Whatever. I'd rather see Big E get his moment wherever they are next year and some ballpark somewhere with 65,000 or 50,000 people. That's where I'd like to see Big E get a big win. That's why I feel bad for Drew, that Drew's going to win his second straight Mania match, but at least he'll have a few people there this time.
Yeah.
I mean, he beat Brock in like 5 minutes, and the only people that were there were the janitor and the caterer, you know? So, you know, that's my point on that. But, I in the end, I have a feeling Edge is going to wrestle Drew. And I have a feeling that Daniel Bryan is still going to wrestle Roman as kind of his farewell put over. But we'll see. And your third point, we'll skip. No, honestly, they needed to have the belts back, in my opinion. I think Nia and Shayna needed the belts back because we need to cultivate whatever Charlotte and Oscar are going to do between now and April 10th and 11th. Do you have any thoughts on the title, on the tag? First of all, I'm a little upset that they kicked that off so we could listen to that dipshit Bad Bunny, Big Bunny, Silly Rabbit, Tricks for Kids, whatever his fucking name is, sing that. I mean, I felt like Machine Gun Kelly all over again. Your title match, Brother Nate, your girl got bumped to the pre-show for, you know, G.I. Bro and the No Limit Soldiers or whatever the hell that was. Booker looked good though. Somebody said Booker needs to go in a third time into the Hall of Fame. He's already in by himself. He's in with his boy, his brother Stevie Ray. He needs to be in as G.I. Bro, but we have to go. That has to be the next Mania at MetLife because Booker only gets inducted in the tri-state area. But what are your thoughts? But so I was a little pissed at that. Like your girls got kicked to the pre-show. So for that nonsense, at least he sang to no crowds. I'm sure he was happy that. How come nobody's cheering? Well, if there were people here, nobody'd be cheering either. So, what are your thoughts on the tag match, Steve?
I didn't watch the pre-show. I'm sorry, Nate. But I think
that's all right, Steve. More Nia for me.
Yes, yes, exactly. I am always willing to share. Was that you, Nate, that said last week that, hey, this is the way to get the belts off so they could do Asuka versus Charlotte at some point? And so once that happened, I'm like, Nate knows what he's talking about. Maybe Nate is Vince.
Yeah. So, all right, Steve. You gave your first, just recap, you already given your first point, which was about
Christian
coming back. That's right, Christian coming back. Mm-hmm. Okay, what are your next two?
My second was that my match of the night was Roman versus Kevin Owens. I really enjoyed it. The finish was a little wonky because of the handcuff snafu. But besides that, I thought it was a really good brawl, a really good last man standing match, and a match that is kind of been overdone at this point. So Owens was like just throwing himself off of stuff. I like that they used the entire baseball stadium, that they went outside of that Thunderdome, and you know, they have, oh, here's the warm up ring. I'm like, oh, this is pretty creative that they're.
It is, yeah. I agree. I will agree to that. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, it wasn't just like, like even in AEW, like when they go throughout the stadium, sometimes it's pretty cool. But then it's like, oh, there just so happens to be a forklift here. But like they're like, oh, it would make sense that a forklift there. It's like with a bunch of other equipment. Yeah. So I thought that was my match of the night. I really enjoyed that a lot. Let's see. Third point. Little bit of a lack of surprises. You know, I said Christian, you know, for one, but besides that, really not many surprises in terms of either of the Rumble. Like, you only had one NXT performer on the men's side, Damian Priest, who then, you know, got called up right away. And then the women, there were just a few, but there was really no one of note. Like, Toni Storm was in there, and she got thrown up pretty quickly. Santana Garrett got thrown up pretty quickly. You know, Rhea Ripley had a moment, and now but there's talk that she's going to be in the main roster as well. So that was a little kind of surprising there, and not really any big like jaw dropping saves in the Royal Rumble. The one thing I'm done with in Battle Royals, and this isn't a knock on WWE, this is a knock on every single wrestling company. Can we stop with this guy is disappeared from the Battle Royal for a while and then comes back at the end? It's every single one now.
Yep.
Like Randy this time, like no one, he wasn't even a good actor that he was injured.
I know.
Like everyone knew he was coming back.
It's right.
Like, okay, what is it happening? But it's like, it's such a trope at this point. Like who's staying outside of the ring? And they almost did it twice in the Men's Royal Rumble because they were trying to do it with Seth Rollins too. So just enough. Come up with other ways.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that too. That goes back to Vince and Steve in 99, where Vince got laid out, Steve by the corporation laid him out in the bathroom, and then Vince did commentary for the next 15 minutes. Yeah, I agree with that. Or the following year, 2000, when Road Dogg hooked himself to the pole for 35, 40 minutes at the Garden in 2000. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And at least he's in the ring at that point, but it feels like it's done more and more these days than it was when it was back then.
Yeah,
And not just in Royal Rumbles, like in any Battle Royal.
Yeah, no, I agree. And finally, point three.
Oh, that was my point three.
Yeah, oh, that was point three. That's right. Yeah, that was point three. What'd you think of the KO match, Nate?
I thought it was solid. I mean, it kind of...
I was underwhelmed myself.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like they worked really hard. The ending was kind of wonky, but it was less than the sum of its parts. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Like we know that they can go out there and have a barn burner. And this was really solid at points, but it just didn't quite coalesce. It's like when you get that DiGiorno's pizza, Steve Willie, because I know you're a fan of those DiGiorno pizzas, and you put it in the oven at 350 for 25 minutes. And the top is all nice and golden brown and the cheese is melted. But for whatever reason, like the bottom of the crust, it's not cooked all the way. So it's still a little bit doughy. This is good. I recognize it as pizza. It's got a little flavor, but it's not quite hitting me the way it should, Scott. And that's what I felt about this match. Like there were parts of it that I enjoyed, but overall it was less than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, I agree. I was really excited for that match, and afterwards I was like, it was good, but a gear was missed at some point. I agree with you on that. All right, we'll go quickly through mine. Point one, Drew got the win he needed, but I don't know why they signed Goldberg to this two matches a year thing. because he's cooked. I mean, he's cooked. He's got no mass left. He barely can get you up for the jackhammer. You've done everything you can, brother. Go back to doing that car show on TLC or whatever channel it was. You're done. He's done. There's nothing left. There's
Scott, nothing. He wore gym shorts.
He did.
Gym shorts.
Well, maybe it's the shorts that he wears when he plays the coach's brother on the Goldbergs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't say Villanova on him.
He just needed a gray T-shirt with his name on the corner, and he had his gym outfit for high
exactly.
school.
I was waiting, you know, because the shorts were similar to Brock's, so I was waiting for, like, Blimpy or Subway or some other Schlotsky's Deli or some other sandwich place to counter Brock's Jimmy John's. But, he's cooked. He's cooked. Point two, I loved the end. The women's rumble was booked perfectly. I don't even care about that. A lot of people are pissing and moaning over the whole Alicia Fox, R-Truth thing in the middle. Look, there's at least one comedy spot in the Rumble every year. That was it. All right? Would you rather Alicia Fox win the Rumble? No. So deal with it. You know what I mean? And people are crying about that. Oh, the comedy. Just shut up. Jesus, God. Take that stuff too seriously. But the women's Rumble was... And something tells me, think about this down the line, that I think when we get into the next two or three years, a Bianca Rhea feud would light that place on fire in like a couple of years. Yeah. On fire. Their chemistry is amazing watching the two of them, and I love them both to death. Either of them could have won, and I'd have been fine, but it was, in this specific case, it was Bianca's to win. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I wanted her to win last year. Last 2 years, she's been in the Rumble combined, like, good God, like 2 hours.
Yeah, she was the star of that Rumble last year.
She was the star of that Rumble, and she was in it last year for friggin' however long, you know? But point three, I got a trivia. My third point is a question for you guys. Of the 30 guys in the men's Rumble, guess how many were under the age of 30.
Oh, I already know the answer to this, so.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw it, Nate.
Do you know?
I know the answer, but I'm going to pretend like I don't. is it two, Scott?
Ladies and gentlemen, the only two guys in the Rumble under the age of 30 were Dominic Mysterio and Otis.
One is a legacy.
one was pure nepotism, and the other just was luck. Now, mind you, I will say this. There's a ton of guys that are like 31. We'll say that. It's not like two guys are 20 and the rest were 60. There's some guys between the ages of like 30 and 32, so let's be fair. But having said that, the average age of the 30 guys in the Rumble was 39. Wow. That's not good. And Rumble...
Go ahead, Scott. I'm sorry.
No. I was just about to say. No, I want your points. That Rumble exposed that the men's roster is a little shaky.
Mm-hmm.
Is a little shaky. Not going to lie. A little shaky. They, like the women's Rumble, had too many, didn't need as many surprises. Like, I loved seeing Victoria. We didn't really need Tori Wilson again. Meanwhile, we didn't get enough NXT guys. Like, I was waiting for Adam Cole. I like Damian Priest, no disrespect, and I think, and he's obviously on the main roster, so that's fine. Do we really need Kane? I mean, really? And as nice as it was to see him, because I don't know how much Nandrolone he drank at the fucking pharmacy across the street from the Trop, but, I mean, it's nice to see Carlito, but good grief. He looked like an action figure. What the hell happened to him? He looks like he ate Primo. My God, he was freaking jacked. I mean, I know he was what's-her-name's brother on Glow, but my God. And Hurricane looked more like Typhoon.
No reason for him. He comes out almost every year now, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. The men's roster is old. And I think this is the protecting, and this is where Triple H needs to kind of look in the mirror and realize you can't hoard your NXT roster. Mm. It's time to start pushing guys up because, I mean, that roster is old.
Mm. And well, it's a twofold problem, though, Scotty. Like, it's on the one hand, it is like you're saying, where Triple H has kind of kept all the toys in the treasure chest, maybe a little too long, but also, well, it's three pronged because that you got the supply with the younger talent. Mm-hmm. Then when they get to the main roster, so many of them are wasted.
Right.
Like, how many NXT call-ups have we seen over the last 3 or 4 years that have gone nowhere? And so it's a implementation issue. The other thing is, and this is where it falls on the old man, I think, you haven't really created many new stars over the past 15, 20 years.
Right.
Like, out of those 20 years, like, maybe, like I'm stressing maybe, you've made 10 stars, maybe. Like, stars that are stars outside of your company. Mm-hmm. Whereas back in the day, you know, you had, everybody wasn't a household name, but, like, your school teacher, if she saw a picture of Coco Beware, she'd know who that was. Or a picture of Randy Savage. Or, of course, Terry. Because he did what was best for the company. But, like, the fact that we're getting, and like, as somebody who is getting older myself, like, I have no problem with some of these guys coming back for one last paycheck or whatever, but it would be like if we were, you know, when we were kids, Steve, during the Monday Night Wars, if every week we were getting Harley Race matches and Vern Gagne matches, like, what the hell are these old dudes doing here?
Main eventing pay-per-views.
Yeah, and they were main eventing pay-per-views. And it's because the company, like, outside of Cena and Roman, to a certain extent, like, who have been the big stars over the past 10 years that this company's created?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. And that's a problem. So, and maybe this is where Vince needs to step aside and let some of these younger producers and Triple H start to cultivate some of these other promotions. You know, so
like maybe I was just hearing things, Steve, but I swear I was watching SmackDown a week or two ago and they were talking about Ziggler and Rude and like two of the bright young stars in this company. Like, sir, that was a grown ass man.
Yeah, I know.
They got 401ks and mortgages.
Dolph Ziggler, who they said it was like, what, his 14th or 15th Royal Rumble?
That is so funny. So anyway, there's our Royal Rumble discussion, and it's in the rearview mirror. And of course, next Sunday is Vengeance Day in NXT. We got a couple good matches there. Women, EO defends her title. And
that should be really good.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, it's EO, Tony.
Mercedes and Tony.
And Mercedes and Tony. So that's going to be a fun match. And of course, the big one just announced, of course, as I mentioned a minute ago, Finn Balor defending the NXT title against Pete Dunne, and that's going to be an absolute war. Mm. War, I tell you. Gentlemen, a great first segment. And before we get into one of our most beloved segments that is making its return this week, let's talk about all the great things we do all over the Information Superhighway. We begin, of course, I always have my man go first. Brother Nate, everything is firing on all cylinders over on the Kings of Sport Patreon. You and Papa Marcus and, of course, your PR director, Baby Simba, dominating, my friend. What do you got going on?
Yes, talk about making an impact, Scotty. You can check out the Kings of Sport Patreon, patreon.com/thekingsofsport, where you can find over 100 hours of audio and video content. We've got some MCU reviews up. We've got a political talk show up. But it is also where you can find, it's the home base of everything Kings of Sport. So you'll get the episodes a day or two before everybody else gets them. And so, you know, you also get like special shows that we do. And one of the most recent ones I did was something for Bell Let's Talk Day. And that's up on the feed now. So you can check that out. $5 gets you in the door. But if you want to pay more, you know, it's a free country. I'm not going to stop you. If you want to pay me more for this excellent content. So check it out, Kings of Sport Patreon, patreon.com/thekingsofsport. Both Scott and Steve have appeared on the Patreon in some way, shape, or form.
Yes.
Yes, we have. Yep, and I got my – I pay more So I get the better booth with the cloth, you know, with the velvet rope. So if you want to pay more and sit with the Podfather and the Godfather, kick in a little extra. Nah, Kingsport Patreon is amazing. Nate, you guys all do a fantastic job. And please consider jumping in. It's pretty awesome. Meanwhile, on the other side of the quad, we have a whole quad. I keep saying quad. We're all in one big world. It's like Carney Land. We call it Potty Land. It's all pods. Nate's got, and the Kings of Sport Patreon's got its own, like, it's like a complex. On the other side, across the street, is the other great, is the rest of the tremendous content we have. Of course, the PTB Wrestling Network firing on all cylinders. And after, it's been a little bit, but guess what's back? It just dropped a couple days ago. PTB NXT. Tim Capel, Jennifer Smith, Jake Williams, Jambalaya Jake, continuing their trek through the legacy that is NXT. And they took a look at the July 17th, 24th, and 31st, 2014 episodes of NXT TV. So check that out. They are also very awesome. They talk about Bull Dempsey, my favorite Dorito chewing. I would have had, you know what? I would have taken Bull Dempsey over Kane in the Rumble. Doritos falling out of his tights, you know? The Vaudevillains, one of my favorite t-shirts. Steve knows it.
Oh, yeah.
So check them out. Tim, Jenny, and Jake, PTB NXT. They took a look at July 17th, 24th, and the 31st, 2014. My man, Rory McNamara, and his great show, Senior Video. This week, or this month, they look at the 1992 Ultimate Warrior Coliseum videotape. And he was joined by his man, Chris Lacey, from the 20 Years Ago podcast, his other pod. So check that out. The 11th episode of Senior Video, Rory McNamara, Chris Lacey, and they looked at the 1992 Coliseum video release of The Ultimate Warrior. A guy we were just talking about off mic. I'm so glad this guy's back in the fold. My man Marty Sleaze from PWO. Love Marty. And he and his man Justin concluded their GWCW ballot this past Sunday with their newest episode of Pro Wrestling Love. They counted down their final 10. And they have a new topic that they will jump on this week. So stay tuned this coming Sunday for the new episode of Pro Wrestling Love and a new topic for the next 5 weeks. So check that out. God, they're so good. Love Marty. So glad he's back in the fold. Another guy who does a great show is the guy who runs the PTB Pop Experience, my man Andy Atherton. He had a new episode of The Evolution, which is his show where he goes through the career of a wrestler. I did the premiere episode. Of course, I did Triple H. Brother Nate, you did an episode with Andy. You did, of course, your boy Sting, Steve yep. Willie. Sorry, but Andy knows nothing about Japanese wrestling, so you'll never be on. So no. we hope Andy asked that you would, of course, be on a future episode.
He'll have Steve on for the Jimmy Wang Yang episode.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Dude, Jimmy Wang Yang is awesome.
Anyway, this the newest episode, he had our friend Tim Capel on, and they talked about It's Me, It's Me, It's DDP. Mm. So they did an episode on Diamond Dallas Page, so check that out. And, of course, you can check all the other great shows, the NWA Saturday Special. Dr. G and I are counting down our GWCW ballot. This coming weekend, we'll be counting, amongst the news and notes, we'll be counting down 60 to 51, so check that out as well. And all the other great shows. Stay tuned here to the feed next week, because it is officially JR's and my 10th anniversary. Yes.
Wow.
10 years. Yeah. 10 years. And next week on the Place to Be podcast, we will be talking about that. And not only will Pete Winston join us, we'll be live watching Survivor Series Showdown 1991, but we have a special guest joining us, an old timer, one of our favorites, Steve Willey and Nate Milton. I'll let you guys know off mic who it is. I don't want to spill the beans.
PN so News.
PN News. Yes. PN News. Exactly. Man Mountain Rock. No. it's the same guy, right? No. It is the same guy, isn't it? No, it's not.
No, Man Mountain Rock was...
What was Man Mountain Rock? Shit.
Who did he played a guitar.
Yeah.
And he was... but before that, he was Cactus that, Jack's tag team partner in WCW.
Yeah,
yeah,
Max Payne.
Max Payne. He was Max Payne.
Yes.
That's right. Max, good job.
Yep.
Steve Willie. Bob Eubanks, be proud on your game show network. So yeah. So
didn't he try to sue the video game company? Was that a thing that happened?
And won.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and he won. Yeah, it was the Max Payne video game, which I believe was on Xbox.
I think
yes. Early Xbox game. It was about a kind of mob type assassin, and they even spelled it the exact same way.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
And I know he got something out of that.
Yep. Yep. So anyway, check out all the great things on the PTB Wrestling Network, the PTB Pop Experience, of course, the Jenny position, and the No Sophie, the North South connection with my man, my PIC, Mr. Rosero, Chad Campbell, Aaron George, and all the great stuff over there. And on the No So feed, as well as the PTB Pop Experience, Steve Willey's new show. Steve?
Yeah, feeling good for now. We just taped our second episode. Our first episode I was really happy with how well it did in the feedback back we got. It is also on its own feed. You can find that on Podbean, feeling good, .. for now, or just put in feeling good. And
nice.
I have a artist friend who is going to be making a little avatar, and by doing that,
very nice. Out on
Apple and Google and all those fun places. But yeah, three places to find it: Podbean, PTBN Pop Feed, No Cell Feed. Getting lots of good feedback. It's a lot of fun. Latest episode is just me and Glenn, but I could give you listeners a little preview. We talked about things from gravitational waves, indigenous languages, and Mountain Dew. Just all over the place in our
gravitational
show.
What'd you do, an episode on Magneto?
There was science. There was mental health and psychology. We talked about setting intentions, talked about podcast recommendations. Yeah, and then we went on a deep dive of Mountain Dew. It was like my TNT deep dive, with the Mountain Dew website.
That's right. Code Red and Game 4 Wizards Nets in 1997.
Yeah.
Did it preempt Rizzoli and Isles? Or what was that shitty, what was that lawyer show with Mark Paul Gosselaar? What the hell was that called? I was going to say Tango and Cash, but that's not
it. Rizzoli and Isles?
Rizzoli and Isles. Yeah. That's right. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, they did a crossover with Rizzoli and Isles, I think.
Yeah.
No, Rizzoli and Isles was my girl there. What the hell's her name? Angie Harmon, and I don't remember the other woman's name. It's Angie Harmon, and who cares? Because Angie Harmon's hot. So anyway, so there you go. Thank you, Steve. So check out all the great feeds, everything we bring you here in the world. Play on the Kings of Sport Patreon, our feeds, Steve's new feed, feeds, all around. You can subscribe onto Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Pods, all over. Rate, review, subscribe. Thank you very much. All right. Well, we were going to begin our GWCW post-mortem project, but Steve Willey didn't do his homework.
Nope.
You're fine. Nope, you didn't. Nah. Obviously, of course, Steve was making sure that his house didn't float away. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll jump into that because the segment's not over. We had to do this. It's been a long time, and I think we all felt like we really wanted to get back into it. So guess what? Yes, for the first time since August.
Oh, wow.
I looked it up. I went to our archives on pleasetobe.podbean.com. August was the last time we did, back to the fairgrounds for our classic TNA pay-per-view recap. Yes, August, the August 28th episode, guys, was the last time we talked about Vince Russo and tasteless booking, tasteless promos, of which there weren't a ton on the episode we're talking about tonight, except the one where he said he banged the guy's mom or whatever that was. We'll get to that in a minute. So, yes, everyone, we are back for our first TNA pay-per-view recap since August. And tonight, if you remember, we were just scratching the surface of 2003. So tonight's episode is January 22nd, 2003, from the fairgrounds in Nashville. Quick recap of our champions. Jeff Jarrett is still our NWA champion. Sonny Siaki, still our X Division champion. And America's Most Wanted is our tag team champions. Dusty Rhodes made an appearance. He was on the last show. And SEX was making its presence felt. And I think they now have t-shirts yes. as they were all wearing in this episode. Steve Willey, get us started.
All right. We first started out with a on location, Jeremy Borash in Australia, to let you know that they are now available to be seen in the country and continent of Australia. And if you didn't know that, the planted signs in Nashville would have helped you figure
that out.
Yeah,
they were bad. Oh my God. Yeah. They were all, the strippers were wearing stuff. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it was a little much. Jeremy Borash also in Nashville. So that was pretty good. I was like, he was the ring announcer, but you know, that was something.
It was like, eight, babe, right?
Yeah. Well, the same thing happened on New Japan this past weekend, where they had El Fantasmo, who's the junior tag team champion, was calling the show with Kevin Kelly. He was awful, by the way. Just absolutely awful. They had to explain that El Fantasmo and Kenta were on the NJPW Strong Show, which had happened just a few hours before. Because, you know, in Japan, the show is in the middle of the night, our time. And NJPW Strong was like, you know, 8 or 9 o'clock. So basically, yeah, they were like saying, yeah, and tonight on NJPW Strong in California, you were wrestling there too. Yeah, so Jeremy Borash, El Fantasmo, Time Travelers.
It checks out, Steve, because Jeremy Borash was the one that brought us the Broken Universe. So he knows something.
Yes.
About moving in mystical places.
That's true. Cosmic.
So we went right to the ring. They, for some reason, on Impact Plus, they referred to the Sheik dying at Parrot. Yes. And there was a tribute, but that was edited out of the stream. So we went right to the first match, which is Red and the Maximos, because we wanted to show Australia the Hot X division. And then they threw together a makeshift team of Sharkboy, Jimmy Wang Yang, and David Young. Now, I believe, was Jimmy Wang Yang, like, did he just turn heel? Or was he even a heel? Or is it just a case of, like, the X Division, they'll throw these guys together? Like, Kid Cash has turned back and forth several times.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, makeshift team there. And this was kind of fun. It was Red and Maximals, the SAT, did just a ton of crazy, wacky triple team moves. Right off the top, they did like a triple top rope elbow. They held the guy in a surfboard, two of them, and then Red came off the top with a one-legged stomp. Just a lot of innovative stuff. They reminded us that Red was in line for a title shot, but couldn't, for the X Division title, but couldn't have it because he was over in Japan, I believe at 0-1 at that time. Don West was talking about Red holding his hand and possibly having a hand injury. It was just Don West all of a sudden becoming the master of psychology of wrestling matches.
I know.
What I did, though, I thought Don West actually was really good in this show.
I agree.
And you could just, like, we've talked about how he loves Amazing Red, and of course even went on to manage him for a while later. But Jimmy Yang, he loves Jimmy Yang, too. It was really getting excited about him. My favorite comment of the night, form commentary, was that David Young, you know, people love Jimmy Yang, people love Shark Boy, and David Young has been gaining a lot of fans lately. No, that's not true. Nobody likes David Young.
That's about as kayfabe as you can get.
Yeah. So overall, Yang and Red definitely were the standouts in this match, so I had to agree with Don West there. I felt it was like a standard six-man match. It just so happened to be X Division guys in there, so they occasionally threw those kind of flippy moves in there. But for the most part, just a standard six-man match. And the SATs, as expected, won with a top rope code red from Amazing Red, I believe, onto David Young. But I can't be bothered to remember that much detail this match.
Who needs David? Who cares anyway?
Yeah.
It was on Yang.
Okay, it was on Yang.
Yeah.
It should have been.
David Young can't be trusted with that spot.
David Young may lose his few fans. So you can't even make the pin. Incidentally, this aired on the 22nd, and I'm looking at Wiki. The Sheik died on the 18th, so he only died 4 days before at the age of 76. He was billed from the Syrian desert. I love that.
Also known as Detroit, Michigan.
Also, yes. which in some ways, not wrong.
It's like Nikita Koloff coming from communist Russia by way of Minnesota.
By way of Minnesota, exactly. The dark matches, by the way, before we continue on, there were three. Rick Santel pinned Matt Stryker. I don't think it's that Matt Stryker. I think it's the other
eyebrow.
One.
Eyebrow Matt
Stryker. Yeah, I was going to say the eyebrow guy.
Eyebrow Matt Stryker, not teacher Matt Stryker. Agent Steele and Madison defeated the Strongs, Cedric, and yes, Roderick. Mm. So a very young Roddy Strong here in a 2003 TNA dark match.
And they were a solid team for that day, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember who the heck Cedric, we were talking about it off mic. I'm trying to think who the hell Cedric Strong was. I feel like it should have been somebody, but I'm probably wrong. And Kid Cash pinned Xavier. Oh, Xavier! God rest his soul. Xavier. I think he passed away.
Yep.
He did, right?
Last year or 2019, somewhere around there.
Xavier. Let me see. Xavier. Let me find the... let's see. Xavier referred to... See also Xavier. I'll look it up while you're talking, but I see when he passed away. But your match time was 12:29. I really love this match. I thought they were going all out. I was, as kayfabe stuff aside, if this was the first episode in Australia, they did give them a pretty good first match. I thought this match was really good. We love Amazing Red. We know that. We love the Maximos. I like Shark Boy. And then there's the other guy and Jimmy Yang. But I thought it was a good match. I thought they all threw themselves all over the place. Commentary was good. Don West, as much as we're joking about it, Steve, I feel like Don West is getting it.
Yeah, I do.
So at least he's really studying to actually try to be a good wrestler, a good announcer. But overall, Nate, I thought it was a fun opener.
Yeah, the weirdness of the assemblage of the heel team aside, I thought it was a really strong opener. You know, a good way to showcase what this division is all about. And yeah, you can't go wrong when you got Red and the SATs on the other side of the ring.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree 100%. So Amazing Red and the Maximos get the win, Steve.
Yes, very good. And we went right on from there to Conan. Again, I vaguely remember this from the last episode. Jumping into the ring and hitting Shark Boy, Jimmy Yang, and David Young with kendo sticks. Your token white authority figure of the week is Eddie Marlin, wearing some sort of beret. I don't know what that was. And, you know, of course, as needed to do in these wrestling segments, you have to shout out Conan. He doesn't even work here. And Conan shouted at Mike Tenay that Mike Tenay knew what this is about. You know what this is about. So I ask you both really quickly, Nate, what was this about?
I believe it's referring to Mike Tenay's stance on the U.S. immigration policy as it pertains to Mexico.
Okay. Okay. I actually have a similar thought. Scott, what do you think this is about?
I think it's about Don West stiffing the immigrant fans of TNA from any brown bag specials.
Oh.
So.
I have this feeling in my gut, because I couldn't figure it out at first, but then I saw who he was attacking, the heel side, David Young, Jimmy Yang, Shark Boy. There are no Mexican cruiserweights, yet they're working a Mexican cruiserweight style. That's kind of the X division. And so I wonder if that's where it's going. But most likely, I think it's probably just going to die. Because most of these things do.
It's true. It'd
be a very progressive angle with Conan taking back the heritage from the appropriators.
Yes.
Yes.
Just a ring full of Iggy Azaleas.
Because he didn't attack Ryan and Maximo, who are, nope. They're Puerto Rican, correct?
Yes. So yeah, that's an interesting theory, Steve. But it's too interesting to actually be true.
Yes.
Like Vince Russo's not booking that.
No. Mike Tenay is. For some reason, this episode especially, like, people seem to think that Mike Tenay had a lot of power. This was not the only instance of that.
Yes.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Mike Tenay's like, I just work here.
Yeah. So speaking of Vince Russo, here he comes, his first appearance of the night. Mm. For the most part, not offensive. He was able to pick the title matches tonight after winning that 8-man tag at the last show. So it's going to be Elix, Skipper, and Loki versus AMW. Don West pretty much is like, okay, Russo, I ain't mad at you about that. And then Siaki versus Athena and one of the young boys. We later learned was David Vaughn, I think his name is.
Yep.
And then Jarrett defending.
That's where we get the great line from apparently head booker Mike Tenay, where he's like, that's what killed the cruiserweight division in WCW. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah, he got a little bit of a point. And then Jarrett defending in a four-corner gauntlet, and we didn't really know what that meant. Versus Christopher Daniels, B.J. James, and Donna Harris, who did not have the SEX shirt. He was the only one, which is fine. So now we had our next match. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, Ashley Hudson, who I believe we saw in one tag team match very early on in TNA, he is now the SEX Australian champion, even though he was never out with the group. And he's defending this non-existent championship versus Jorge Estrada. I'm not opposed to a new talent coming in. Right away, Estrada nearly killed himself on a plancha. Jorge had most of the advantage in the match. This was really short. It was only 5 minutes. And basically, Hudson just rolled through in a crossbody for a clean win. And then after the match, Mike Sanders tried to recruit Jorge Estrada, and Estrada did not seem interested. Mike Sanders, of course, is the director of recruitment for Sports Entertainment Extreme.
Well, you got to give him something to do.
Yep. A pretty much a nothing match.
Incidentally, Xavier died in August.
Ugh.
At the age of 42.
Way too young.
Yeah, very young. Didn't say why, though. I don't know if that was a secret thing or whatever, but
I can't recall why.
Yeah, I can't either. Yeah, exactly 5 minutes. And yeah, nothing much in this match. Ashley Hudson with his baggy, looks like he was wearing a Bananarama Australia shirt. nothing much here, Nate, just to kind of get this whole, the SEX can jump in at any time kind of thing.
Yeah, this again, if Mike Tenay is our head booker here, this was a bad job by Mike Tenay.
Pretty much.
This match didn't need to be here.
No, not at all. Nope.
Hey, quick question for you guys. With the dark matches, like an explosion, could you see explosion? I know there's some explosion on Impact Plus, but are these original ones on there? Maybe that's just something to look for because...
Yeah, I'll take a look.
Those matches were filmed for Explosion.
Mm.
Not the Strong Brothers, but the...
Ones.
Yeah.
That's what I was hoping to look for. I got to see what that other guy is. But you keep going, Steve. I'll double check the...
Yeah, I know a lot of the explosions are on there. Because they're still around, I believe. But they started in 2002. And I wonder if those are available anywhere. All right, so next we go to a AJ Styles package with the really creepy video music that they use in the black and white, and he's just reiterating, letting everyone know that, hey, he's not part of SEX. He's not part of the main face group of TNA. He's just on his own. And I forgot how this exactly happened, but Larry Zbyszko is challenging AJ Styles. And Zbyszko came out with the TNA theme that they play at the beginning of the show. To his credit, he looks like he's in really good shape. AJ is ridiculously over with this crowd, and partially he is over in general, you know, from day one with the crowd, whether he's been face or heel. Secondly, he's going against Larry Zbyszko, so Zbyszko's goal in the match is to just force AJ down on the mat and use his savvy. I guess they're forgetting that they always would say how AJ Styles is a former you know, collegiate wrestler, but, you know, I'm shitting on it, but actually this is, I told Scott earlier in the day that, like, I have a hot take that is very unlike a Steve Willie take.
Uh-oh.
This was much better than I thought it was going to be. Like, I actually enjoyed this match. It was not bad at all. I Mortimer Plumtree showed up. There's no reason for that. And then AJ Styles put his feet on the corner ropes, got leverage to get the pin on Larry. And I wasn't even mad at that finish. And I give credit to the announcers for pointing this out too, because I'm like, well, Larry Zbyszko would have done the same thing. That's the stuff he did his entire career. So basically he just outsmarted Larry at his own game. So, like, in terms of a legend match, I actually thought this was okay. It was definitely way better than the last match. And I don't know if it was just like, hey, get Larry on the show a couple times to give him a paycheck and maybe spark some interest amongst older fans. I don't know if Larry's going to be a part of things, but I mean, they've had a history now of just kind of hotshotting people in for two or three episodes, like they did Percy Pringle and such. And so we'll see where this goes. But yeah, AJ versus Larry Zbyszko is a match that happened.
You know what's funny about that? I thought in the match, your length is just about the length of the other one, 549. You know what this reminds me of? Do you guys remember what pay-per-view was it? Nate, you probably remember. Was it the first Slamboree when Zbyszko fought? Was it Regal? Or was it 94? Remember the one I'm talking about? I'm trying to think. Steve, do you remember? I'm trying to think whether it was Slamboree 93 or 94. And Larry fought Regal, and he won. And it was almost like another Legends thing, putting over a young guy, but made the match really good. That's almost how I felt here, although obviously to a much lesser extent because Larry was older. I got to take a look. I thought it's one of the two Slamborees because it was the Legends reunion. So it was either Slamboree, it was either 93 or 94. Something tells me it was 90. I want to say it was probably 94 because I don't think Regal was there in 93.
Yeah, it was 94.
It was 94.
Yeah, okay. They had a series of three matches in 94.
Yeah.
With Regal.
Yeah. So it was definitely so it was 94. And it was almost like bringing Larry in to kind of put over the young talent. And I feel like he did it here, only to obviously a much lesser extent because obviously he's older and a little paunchier. But, I mean, not offensive. I agree with you, I agree with you, Steve. I didn't think it was that bad. Nate, what'd you think?
First of all, I mean, and granted, like, this is something everybody says, Steve, so I'm not the first person to bring this up. But, you know, when you look at AJ Styles today, the first thing that comes to your mind is, wow, that AJ Styles is a modern-day Larry Zbyszko. That's the direct comparison that people make when they think of AJ Styles. But, yeah, this was, like you said, Steve, it was better than it had any right to be. It wasn't offensive. But again, like 45 minutes ago, I made the crazy suggestion that what the WWE is doing now would be like if, you know, we saw Harley Race matches during the Monday Night Wars. And this is something similar where, like, Larry Zbyszko was an over-the-hill, quote-unquote, legend. I'm doing the quotes around the over-the-hill part, not the legend part. But Larry was like an over-the-hill legend in 94.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing this in 03. And so it's like, while the match wasn't bad, it wasn't offensive, it probably didn't need to be here. Like, I feel like, you know, good for Larry for getting the check, but this did not help AJ to the degree that I think they thought it would.
Mm.
Well, good news, guys. Great news. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a rematch next week in some way. So I just accidentally saw that. So
I see. Mm. By the way, the pro wrestling history spelled Cedric Strong like Cedric Alexander. However, Wikipedia spells it like S-E-D-R-I-C-K, which I think is the right way. There is no link to Cedric Strong, so it must have been some scrub. So I don't know who Roddy Strong's tag team partner was in 2003, but we don't obviously have to care. So, but Xavier did wrestle on the, I know what you want. The explosions. I don't think that they go that far back. Let's see. Honestly, no. the oldest explosions on Impact Plus are 2016. So, yeah, I don't see. Yeah, no, I don't see explosions. I don't see explosion older than that, which is kind of a bummer. Not going to lie. I agree with you. I was kind of hoping for older explosions.
Cedric Strong, S-E-D-S-E-D-R-I-C-K, was still active up to 2012. Roderick was one of his trainers, so it's possible this is a brother of some sort.
Maybe, yeah.
He was trained by Jimmy Del Rey, Roderick Strong, and Steve Kern.
Oh, not bad. I just realized something. I didn't know this on a side note. We'll continue on in a moment, but I'm looking at Roddy Strong's wiki. Do you know who trained him? Among the top two names are the ones that blow me away. Now, Roddy Strong is one of the best wrestlers in the last, 15 years. We can safely say that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know the two of the guys who trained him? You ready for this? These names are going to blow you away. Jim Neidhart and the Warlord.
Wow.
How about those Warlord marbles?
Yes. Well, I mean, we offset the Warlord with the greatness and the ring acumen, Steve Willey, of the artist formerly known as Prince Iaukea.
Yes, Prince Iaukea as well. Yes, that is true. That is true.
Oh, and the Black Nature Boy, Scoot Anders.
Oh, that's honestly, out of those four, Scoot's the one that probably trained him up the most.
I know, probably. Is he still alive? Yeah, he is, right?
Scoot, yeah, I think Scoot's still, like, he hadn't wrestled in years, but I think Scoot's still around.
Yeah, he's 50. He retired in 05.
Yeah, there were a lot of guys around that time, like, and you see them from time to time during these early days of TNA, like the NWA affiliates in Florida and Georgia particularly. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a lot of really strong talent that, for whatever reason, like, maybe it was too early or too late, and their time never really came.
I share a birthday with him. Scoot Andrews and I share, and his birthday of Place to Be Nation. He was trained by Hack Myers. This gets better and better.
He's part of the Hack Myers coaching tree.
The Hack Myers coaching tree.
Well, right, Hack Myers was trained by Axel Rotten.
Oh, my God. Is this getting better and better?
It's like Belichick to Parcells.
And he was trained by... George
Hackensmith.
This has to be a joke. It says that Hack Myers was trained by Oscar Myers. That's got to be a joke. Hacked Wiki so Baloney could train him. What a bunch of baloney. All right, back to the show. All right.
Well, my interviewer has the first name. It's G-O-L-D-I, and she is with Jerry Lynn and Truth.
Well, hold on, Steve. I hate to be pedantic here, but it's actually G-O-L-D-Y.
Yes.
And the Y stands for, why am I talking to this midget in a trash can?
Logan Cross would be very upset with you because that's his dirty little bitch. So, but speaking of Goldilocks, go to placeb.podbean.com. Go to Highway to the Impact Zone. Mm. They did an interview with her over Christmas that is really good. So please check it out. Awesome.
It's what we wanted to do, but we just didn't want to go through Vince Russo.
Right.
We wanted to ask her questions that she would not feel comfortable asking.
Yes, like,
can you bury Vince Russo for us?
Yes, pretty much. Exactly. Anyway, check it out on the pot on the site. It's pretty awesome. Anyway,
we had to send them as our emissaries.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Oh, God. Anyway, continue, Steve. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, she is back with Jerry Lynn and Truth, who are together, and everyone's concerned if what happens if Russo takes over TNA. So
what would happen if Vince Russo took control of TNA, Steve Willie? Could you imagine?
I couldn't imagine. I mean, yes, it boggles the mind because we know that TNA will persevere over SEX. And
absolutely. I agree.
You'll never see the likes of him again.
Nope.
And when you have Jerry Lynn and, the Truth, arguably the two biggest stars, two of the ones who've really shown the most since TNA started, and you put them in a mega team, who do you want them to go against? Which evil heels do you want them to vanquish? Well, above average Mike Sanders and David Flair.
Oh, God. Yeah.
One step above the Mean Street Posse, I believe, in this match. Yeah, they just worked over Jerry Lynn with the most generic offense, and then Mike Sanders would keep saying hey to get the crowd chanting hey. Like, this is one of the few times that I saw Jerry Lynn and Truth get, like, just brought down. I mean, usually those are guys that can bring other people up. They just brought them down.
Yeah, they
So such a contrast between this and, like, the X Division matches. Eventually there was a hot tag to Truth, and then they did some double teaming, and for some reason Flair has been carrying around this burlap sack with some sort of weapon in it, and David Flair hits Jerry Lynn in the head, gets the win. So all of that, you know, these matches with Lynn and Loki and Lynn and Siaki, that feud, and all the Jerry Lynn AJ Styles matches, some of the best matches really ever. The couple of those AJ Jerry Lynn were like 5-star matches, and now, you know, the two of them are jobbing out to the dreck of SEX.
Yeah,
not even like Elix or Daniels or Loki or, you know, even Siaki, like guys who shouldn't even be in the ring. So yeah, that was a big disappointment there.
Yeah, 7:49 your match time on that one. First off, I'm not even gonna for me, and I've even said this in when he was in WCW, but I've never acknowledged David Flair as a wrestler. He was a gimmick. Mm-hmm. He was a gimmick guy. But has there ever been a more overrated pile of monkey nuts than Mike Sanders? I mean, did that guy have any business being in wrestling?
Something to say about him later on.
I've never met a guy that I always, and he led that whole athletes in action. That's a guy team that plays college basketball. What the fuck were they called in
WCW? Natural Born Thrillers.
Natural Born Thrillers. Yeah, they should have been Natural Born Monkey Nuts is what they should have been, because everybody else was better than him. I'm watching this match and I'm like, what does anybody see in him? Again, I'm going to take Nate's kid off the table because he was a gimmick. But, what did everybody love about that guy so much? He was terrible. And as is evident, we haven't heard from him since, pretty much. But, yeah, I agree with you 100%, Steve, on poor Ron and the Truth and Jerry have been lifting guys up this whole time since we've started doing it. This is the first match where they just like got swallowed up in the minutiae of mediocrity. And it was rough to watch, Nate, really rough to watch again, because we like Truth and we like Jerry. Jerry's been firing it up with AJ, as Steve said, but this is just a mess.
Yeah. Another match that didn't need to be here. Like David Flair should not be in a wrestling ring. And honestly, Mike Sanders, to your point, like he shouldn't be in a ring in this capacity. Like to me, the only value in Mike Sanders is his promos.
Yep.
And in a stable with Vince Russo, he's redundant. So they should have either found another position for him or made him somebody's manager. But this was not the spot for Mike Sanders.
Nope. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, he could have been a good manager down the line and maybe a guy that could have helped out down, you know, in other promotions as a manager, but he's just no ability at all. And I just thought he was grossly overrated in WCW. Obviously he's a Russo guy, as we clearly see. And, you know, I get wanting to give a hand to a guy, but you know, you got to bring something to the table and he doesn't.
And you've also got to put your guy in the best position to succeed.
Right.
Like, you don't want to leave your guy out there hanging in over his head, and that's what Russo did with Sanders here.
Yep, I agree 100%. Yep, absolutely. Not a good...
When Mike Sanders, like, just... Now I'm thinking about it now, Scotty, since you brought up this point. Steve Willie, how crazy is it that Vince Russo had the audacity to sit there and plot this match out? Like, listen, Jerry, look here, Truth, bro. Don't worry, you in good hands. I know David Flair is raw, but I'm putting him in there with a ring general. Mike Sanders, bro. Like, the fact that Vince Russo put it on Mike Sanders' shoulders to be the captain for his team, like, that's ridiculous.
It is absolutely ridiculous. I didn't even think of that. It's just saying those sentences just makes your head hurt. Oh, my God.
Do you think that AEW missed the boat hiring Jerry Lynn as one of their main coaches instead of Mike Sanders?
Instead of Mike Sanders? Tony Khan says anybody could be rehabilitated, even Mike Sanders.
Omega versus Sanders.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. He can't even do jazz hands as good as Kenny can. Oh, my God. Let's move on from this, Steve. Oof.
All right. A really quick, weird, weird segment with Roddy Piper on video.
That was weird.
At some sort of like UHF station, like WB station, that saying that he's got like guys that he's going to have come in to take on Vince Russo. I don't know if this went anywhere, but it's like, yeah, they didn't want me out there because I talked about Owen Hart, my cousin, and we'll have to see. He like was almost insinuating that he had a new wrestling league coming and never underestimate him. But it was WB35, which was clearly some sort of UHF channel. Loved it. Like, so we'll see. I don't know if this goes anywhere.
I can't fathom it is. Because what you figure, I'm curious to see how many more times we see Piper on camera, because you figure this is late January, and by the end of March, he's in Seattle. Pasting Terry with a pipe, like we all want to do. So very strange.
All right, and then we go right into the our tag team title match between Primetime and Low Ki versus America's Most Wanted. And boy, the ladies, they love them some Cowboy, especially the first two ladies in the front row who are more annoying than usual, and I thought that they looked like they were ready to storm Tennessee's capital.
They want a piece of the Cowboy, baby.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Primetime and Low Ki out of the X division, now into the tag division, and it almost felt like Low Ki was working a little bit different style. And again, like, there's been a few changes over the last couple of weeks. We'll see if that continues or if we'll go back to that. That more X division, you know, fast, like, he's not doing the Dragon Sleeper. He wasn't doing many of his fancy kicks or any of his top rope moves. So we'll see if that continues. AMW was solidly in control for quite a few minutes until Low Ki and Primetime took over after Daniels interfered. So they were triple teaming Storm. I almost said Lance Storm. Storm was legal virtually the entire match. Finally, Harris came in and just started clubbing away on everyone. And after that, like, SEX took control. I hate saying that. Like, the alternative to saying SEX is Triple X, and I don't know if that's any better. Triple X took control back, and it just kind of grinded to a halt, or maybe the women in the front row got laryngitis, one of the two. Skipper, Matrix out of a pin, which was really cool. AMW was set up for a death sentence, but they were distracted again by Daniels. Harris got that catatonic move, and again he was distracted. And then Skipper came in, nailed, I believe it was Wildcat with the belt. And even though the ref turned around to see Elix Skipper put Low Ki on top of him to see the aftermath of... You have Primetime and Low Ki are your new tag team champions, which, I mean, I'm okay with that. It's getting the belts on some really good guys. AMW has been around with these belts since day one, so glad that the church is not involved anymore. And, you know, this could be a really good feud between these five guys. So not a bad match. Definitely better than anything we've seen since the first match.
Mm. Are they technically Triple X? Because... this isn't Daniels, it's Low Ki and Elix, but do we still call them Triple X?
They did a couple times during the match, and that's only why.
Oh, it is TNA, so who knows. Yeah. But this is your longest match of the night, 15-18. I liked it a lot. And the other thing I didn't mind about the finish, I'm glad that it was a cheating finish, and I'm fine with... we needed to give SEX a little... what's the word I'm thinking of? a little bit of TNA's value. Mm-hmm. They needed to have belts because they already have. Now they have two of the three championships because they obviously have, at the moment, we'll talk about it next, but they have the X Division champ in Siaki, and now they have the tag straps. So it's not just a bunch of jerk-offs. It's actually this villainous group that's actually starting to make headway here, and now they have two of the three championships. Oh, speaking of, I was mentioning Russo. The one tasteless thing Russo said is when he said, although the fan kind of started it when he held a sign that said Vince Russo's a virgin, and then he goes to the guy, have a talk with your mom. So it's such like a 12-year-old thing to say, but
yeah, anyway. Totally.
I enjoy the match a lot. Again, it's Low-Key and Elix, brother Nate. So, and obviously you know me, big AMW guy. I had no problem with the finish. I had no problem with the title change. I think it was necessary for the storyline.
Yeah, I feel like it's good to shake things up, as Steve mentioned earlier. This was the best match of the night. Well, I guess second best match of the night. It's close. But I think I would give this the edge over the opener. I think this was the best match of the night. And it kicks off what is arguably, and I don't even think it's that hard to argue. Like, I don't think the other candidates stack up to it, but I would say it's the first defining tag team feud in TNA between AMW and Triple X.
Yep. I don't got a problem with that. You think so, Steve?
No, I don't have a problem with it either.
Mm. Yeah, I think it fits.
I mean, Steve wants to argue for some of those Harris Brothers classics.
No, God.
We actually have to talk about the Harris Brothers, sadly, or at least one of them, but that's in a minute. So there you go. Low-Key and Elix Skipper, your new NWA TNA tag team champions in a good match.
Yeah. And then follow that up with not a good match. The title, as we said, Chris Vaughn, who is the rookie, Athena, the ring jacket girl, and Sunny Siaki. This was a really quick squash. Vaughn got in a couple moves after Athena slapped Siaki. Siaki pulled Vaughn up and then gave him his new move, the Siakalypse Now, which was kind of like a gut wrench into a pile driver. It was a really cool move. And then Trinity came in for the save when he was going to beat up Athena. Then, what's her name? Desire came in the ring and Kate Cash came in for another save. And then, Desire was so bad by not interfering in the match that they ripped off her shirt. And they're the faces. But Kate Cash and Trinity are the faces. And then they sexually assaulted Desire for... I couldn't even tell what the reason was for that.
Consequences and repercussions.
Yeah, she didn't do anything. She didn't interfere.
Well, Mike Tenay foreshadowed it earlier. This is the type of stuff that ruined the cruiserweight division at WCW. So why are we bringing this into this new company?
Mm. Yes,
because Vince Russo is an idiot. and Sunny Siaki, who could be a future ring jacket girl, the moment.
put some respect on his name. Sunny Siaki is a coat check man at some steakhouse somewhere.
Ribeiro's.
He's taking the Shula's or Ribeiro's.
He's taking the satin jackets.
He's the head coat check man at Ruth Chris.
Ruth Chris, that's right. So Sunny Siaki does keep his X Division title in a complete mess. I've actually looked forward to this main event for the whole show, Steve. Is that sad? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. It's sad when Jeff Jarrett is the second best wrestler in the match. we know who the number one guy is, and then the after. Go ahead. Floor's yours. Go ahead.
All right. Well, should we do the Dusty Rhodes thing real quick?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I forgot about it. Yes.
Because this was just random.
Yeah, this was very random.
I was perplexed by this, even though I love both guys, but go ahead.
So hold on one second here. So Goldilocks, real quick, went into the locker room. And this is where I have a problem with Mike Sanders, because they're like, hey, who asked you in here? And then Mike Sanders looks right into the camera, takes a champagne bottle, and attempts to pour, like basically grab her breasts and pour the stuff on her. And like, she had no idea this was coming. She did not want this to come. And I think she was ready to slug him. And I would have paid to see that. It was just really gross. So yeah, Dusty Rhodes back into the ring, called off Nikita Koloff, who I forgot was randomly involved in that 8-man tag, like came out in the end of like, oh, you know who that is. So we just talked about their past, and that they came together, you know, after Magnum TA had his car accident, Vince Russo came out, and they were both trying to push and pull Nikita Koloff, like, whose side are you joining? And I just thought, I'm like, man, you're fighting over a guy who's not even an active wrestler, who hasn't wrestled in years. Nikita just eventually clocks Dusty, but then leaves on his own. So he doesn't leave with Vince Russo. And so we're left to like, okay, who is Nikita Koloff with?
But whose side is he on?
So who cares? But then, yeah, then we get to the main event. TNA went backstage real quick to give a pep talk to Jeff Jarrett. We got Jeff Jarrett versus BG James, Christopher Daniels, and Don Harris. The goal of this match is to get down to two people. So you can do that by either throwing them over the top rope, pinning, or submission. Now, if these people had any brains whatsoever, this is why these matches are stupid. They could have just thrown Jeff Jarrett out and been done with them immediately. Like, it would be it. But instead, they, like, just brought chairs in and they dragged him around the arena because, like, that's the thing with the Jeff Jarrett matches we've seen so far. They all go into the crowd.
Yep.
But it just made no sense. Like, they're just, like you're supposed to pin him or get rid of him. There's no countouts here. Daniels tries to jump off the little balcony thing and just ends up falling into a table. It was a really contrived spot that didn't look good.
No.
This was a match I just wanted to end. Eventually, Scott Armstrong had finally had enough of BG James's bullying, which I'm fine with because that was just getting old week after week. Like, Scott Armstrong, a wrestler as well, like, he can fight back and probably way better of a wrestler than his brother at this point. Helped Jarrett, ripped off his shirt, helped Jarrett throw out Harris and James. So now we're down to Jeff Jarrett and Christopher Daniels. Dusty Rhodes came out with another ref and helped fight Harris and James to the back. We got Daniels versus Jarrett. Dusty's trashing the locker room for some reason while Daniels in the ring having the Koji clutch locked in. Does the best moonsault out for her, but Jarrett kicks out. And then Daniels goes off the top rope, and Jeff Jarrett catches him with a stroke for the win. And the entire face of X Division members come out to celebrate. And wait, who's that? Who's that coming? It's Raven, and he's in the ring. The DDT's Double J leaves with Russo and the belt as time expires. That is, there's always something, like every other episode. That's Percy Pringle. What's he doing here? Wait, that's Nikita Koloff. Wait, that's Raven. Now, at least Raven is going to be around for quite a long time, but yeah, it was a lot there. I almost wish it was just Jarrett versus Daniels.
Yeah.
Because a couple minutes they had together was actually pretty good. It was just bogged down by Harris and BG James and just like the nonsensical rules of the match, which they just look like idiots.
I agree 100%. They did. The match, it's 10:24 was the total match time. I don't even want to talk about Don Harris. I'm through talking about him. BG James looks like he's in that camp with, you know, we have an award on the Place to Be podcast where JR and I vote like on the one guy in the match who in the show who's like looks like he's the closest to death. Mm-hmm. Now that Perfect is not on screen anymore and they got rid of Brian Lawler, BG James's look didn't look as bad when those two guys were on camera because they both look like they were going to die of heart attacks. Now that they're both gone, BG James is now on the top of the list of guys that you should be, you know, having, you know, sit downs with in the living room. He looks terrible. And that stupid, whatever that stupid little muster beard thing he's got, I think there's a name for it. It's like the something point or something. I don't know. But he looks abysmal. Don Harris as well. Don Harris. Yeah, I agree with you, Steve. I would have had no problem with Jeff Jarrett against Christopher Daniels here, just one-on-one. and have BG James and Don Harris just kind of try to interfere and, you know, stack the deck or something like that. But this is a mess. But Jarrett wins. And I feel like Raven was a longstanding rumor because there were a couple of Raven signs in the crowd. So I feel like I really don't remember in early 03 if Raven was rumored to be going to TNA because he was in WWF in 2002 because I'm pretty sure he was at WrestleMania X8 in the hardcore thing with Kane. Or was that WrestleMania X7? No, I think it was X8. No, Kane wrestled Kurt at X8. I thought Raven was in some hardcore thing at WrestleMania 18. But anyway, I agree. It's nice to have a guy, another big player in the company. But this match was a mess because mm-hmm. the rules made no sense. Why didn't all three of them just throw Jarrett over the top rope? And then they could have like cut the belt in thirds or something. I don't know. But I agree with you. And they try to do that Attitude Era thing with fighting around the crowd and everything. But after a while, that gets kind of old. And in any event, Nate, Jarrett wins, but now SEX has a new face of their group, and it is Raven, who's another one who really doesn't look that great. I mean, he looks okay, but he doesn't look stellar. Like, this is definitely, TNA was very different in terms of, like, building their roster than, like, AEW was. I mean, TNA was bringing every guy who was sickly and dying or roided up, or they definitely loaded up that roster very differently than Tony Khan loaded up his. I'll give him credit for that. But yeah, this was not the best thing, not the best main event logically, but it did the Raven thing at the end was kind of cool.
Yeah, the Raven thing was cool. At the moments, as Steve mentioned, where you had Daniels and Jarrett, those were good moments. Everything else just didn't work for me, including the fact that Jeff Jarrett, of all people, Steve Willie, is mm-hmm. our titular babyface in this scenario.
Yes, he is.
It's like it's not working. It's not working.
Yeah, it's a weird place because he's just such a natural heel.
Yep.
But like in Nashville, he is kind of he's like Jerry Lawler in a way, right? You can he's beloved by them.
The hillbilly from Henderson, as Vince Russo called him.
Mm-hmm.
The hillbilly from Henderson. I think that's awesome. So, and then we're off the air. So overall, Steve, I have to say, and Nate, a couple of, wonky matches aside, I enjoyed this show. I thought it was actually not bad. I thought the promos were not as offensively bad as they usually are. We did have some storyline progression, and maybe, except for those last couple matches, in-ring, probably the best it's been. So one of the best shows we've had in terms of just in-ring, Nate.
Yeah, the good parts were really good. But I think the problem is they're still shooting themselves in the foot to a certain extent by doing things they don't have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like putting David Flair and your man Mike Sanders in a tag team.
Yeah.
Like running out so many of these old guys, like doing this crazy match with unnecessary stipulations at the end. So I think bell to bell, there's some good stuff on this episode. But again, it's a 2-hour show that you could easily watch in an hour and just chop off some of that fat.
Yep. And then have and have that great wrestler like Athena have to deal with that coat check girl, Sunny Siaki. I mean, really. Would you overall, top to bottom, Steve, what'd you think?
I thought it was okay. Nothing blow away. Like some of the stuff that I liked in earlier shows, is you got a lot more garbage, but then you usually would have like an absolutely blow away match on it. This had nothing was horrible, like totally offensive, except Mike Sanders trying to grab boobs and such.
Right.
But there wasn't anything blow away. So I said, like, for TNA, an above average show compared to what we usually watch.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Yeah. I mean, the Mike Sanders thing is just bad. It's just bad. Forget the drinking off boobs part. His wrestling sucks. So don't put this guy in matches. He's terrible. The X Division still looks great. Yet, Jarrett, your baby face, I agree with you, Nate. I think it's okay for now, but we'll see how long it goes before it kind of loses its luster, which something tells me will not be very far away.
Like Raven's already a more likable character and compelling character than Jeff Jarrett. And he was only on the screen for about 45 seconds.
45 seconds, I know. And I hate one of my least favorite tropes is carrying off belts when they're not yours. I hate that. That's a trope that I absolutely cannot stand. And of course, they carried off the belt and they probably take it hostage or some kind of nonsense. So there you go. Our first TNA pay-per-view recap since August. And I thought it went very well, guys. So, of course, we do that every other episode. So our next two episodes from now, 168, we'll do another. We'll do the next one and we'll see if things get any better. Guys, that was a great show. It always is anyway. But that was particularly good as well. Join us in 2 weeks. We'll talk a little TNA. We'll talk a little NXT out of Vengeance Day and look ahead to the Elimination Chamber show. And I believe, guys, if I do my math right, let's see. Oh, no, we won't even come close to the pay-per-view. But we will be talking. Actually, we'll preview that Elimination Chamber show because it's it'll be that upcoming Sunday. And, of course, as I mentioned, Brandon Thurston will be with us, and we'll talk more about the end of 2020 fiscal situation for WWE and look ahead to 2021 as we're already past the Rumble into the first quarter of the year. Brother Nate, where can everyone find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at @in8 MOZAIK, and you can follow the Kings of Sport at Cospod, KOS_POD, both on Twitter. And if you're out here on the Instagram looking at Steve Willie's TikToks, you can find me at Black Nate, BLAQUE_8, because I always like my handles to be fancy. There's Steve Willie.
There you go.
Yes. Steve?
Well, you can find me on Instagram at S-T-E-V. Oh, I almost forgot how to spell my name. It is past my bedtime, folks. S-T-E-V-E-W-I.
It's T-O-L-D-I.
Yeah. Yeah, and I am just drinking water and, like, Propel this evening, too. There's no Terramana going down today. S-T-E-V-E-W-I-L-L-E, Steve Willie, and the number one. And then, yeah, check out the new show, Feeling Good For Now.
You can follow me on Twitter at PTBPodFather, and you can follow the brand at Place2BNation. And let's get Steve Willie to bed. Everyone, have a great week. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. He's Brother Nate. He's Brother Steve. I'm Brother Scott. You have been in the main event. And if Goldie doesn't want you to, Goldie will not let you. Have a good 2 weeks.
Hey, Steve Willie.
Hey, Nate Millen.
I mean, this is a big show this week. Not only did we have that great debut in AEW, but this is also our very first show of Black History Month, Steve.
That is true.
Yeah, and one of the things I found out this week, just doing some research online, is that there's a lot of professional wrestlers who are interested in investing in Black-owned businesses.
Okay.
And so, like I'm doing some searching, doing some Googling, and I found one wrestler in particular that has his own line of traditional African clothing. Like, he's making dashikis and all sorts of things that you can purchase. So for anybody that's interested, you can go online and check out Kenta with his new clothing line, Kenta Cloth. No, don't funk with my heart.
Contestant is Will.i.am.
No, 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 don't funk with my heart.
I wonder if I take you home, would you still be in love, baby, in love, baby? I wonder if I take you home, would you still be in love, baby, in love, baby?
Girl, you know you got me, with your pistol shot me. And I'm here helplessly in love, and nothing can stop me. You can't stop me once I start it. Can't return me once you bought it. I'm coming, baby, don't doubt it. So let's be about it.
No, 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 don't funk with my heart.
Baby, baby, have some trust and trust him when I come with lust and lustin'. Cause I bring you that comfort. I ain't only here cause I want your body, I want your mind too. Interesting is when I find you, and I'm interested in the long haul. Come on, girl. Yeehaw!
Contestant, it's Apple.
Girl, you have me once you kiss me. My love for you is not iffy. I always want you with me. I'll play Bobby and you play Whitney. If you smoke, I smoke too. That's how much I'm in love with you. Crazy is what crazy do. Crazy in love, I'm a crazy fool.
Don't funk with my heart.
Why you so insecure when you got passion and love her? You always claiming I'm a cheater. Think I up and go leave ya for another senorita. You forgot that I need ya. You must have caught amnesia. That's why you don't believe her. Well, yeah, check it out.
Don't you worry about a thing.
The next contestant is Taboo.
You know you make me feel so real. I love you more than sex appeal. Cause you're that girl. That girl. That girl. That girl. That girl. That girl. That girl.